ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यम्। श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट नंबर 32 ब्यूटीज ऑफ द प्रचेतास। पारिजाते अज्ञ सालब्धे सारंगान्य न सेवते तदंघ्रिमूलमासाद्य साक्षात् किं किं वृणीमहि। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रेयसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। डियर लॉर्ड, when the bee approaches the celestial tree known as Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree, because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of you? Purport. When a devotee is actually engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, his engagement in itself is so perfect that there is no need to ask for further benediction. When a bee approaches the Parijata tree, it gets unlimited supplies of honey. There is no need to go to another tree. If one is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is unlimited transcendental bliss, and as such, there is no need to ask for further benediction. The Parijata tree is not commonly found within this material world. The Parijata tree is also known as Kalpavruksha, or the wish-fulfilling tree. One can get anything he desires from such a tree. With the material world, one can get oranges from one orange tree or mangoes from a mango tree. But there is no possibility of getting oranges from a mango tree or vice versa. However, one can get whatever he wants from the Parijata tree: oranges, mangoes, bananas, and so on. This tree is found in the spiritual world. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpavruksha lakshavatesu. The spiritual world, Chintamani dham, is surrounded by this tree's kalpavruksha. But the Parijata tree is also found in the kingdom of Indra, that is on the Indra's heavenly planet. This Parijata tree was also brought by Krishna to please Satyabhama, one of his queens, and this tree was implanted in the Dwaraka mansions constructed for the queens. The lotus feet of the Lord are exactly like the Parijata trees, or wish-fulfilling trees, and the devotees are like the bumblebees. They are always attracted by the lotus feet of the Lord. Oh, Hare Krishna. Before speaking, I would like to seek the blessings of Vaishnavas in this particular verse. These prachetas, they are praying to the Lord, glorifying the lotus feet, attractive lotus feet of the Lord. Till in the beginning of this chapter, Vedura is inquiring from Maitreya Muni. He heard how this King Prachinivari, who is the father of Prachetas, he was preached by Narada Muni to come out of the entanglement from material comfortable life. And he was asking, if his father was out of it, his sons, who previously, as described, they approached Lord Shiva and they obtained the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, what did they get? How did they benefit? A person who goes to Lord Krishna, in what way he is benefited? Do they get material comforts? Do they get spiritual benediction? What do they get? So this is a question which is commonly featured in many parts of the scriptures. Like we see in Krishna book, same question is asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. That why we see that the followers of Lord Shiva, devotees of Lord Shiva, they are materially very opulent, whereas the followers of Lord Vishnu, they are materially poverty stricken. Although we see that Lord Shiva himself is appears to be poverty stricken. He has no house, no proper clothes, he is roaming here and there. But still his followers are materially benefited. Whereas followers Lord Vishnu himself is very comfortably situated, whether in Vaikuntha or whether in this material world. He is in very happily situated, means big mansion, big opulence. But still his followers are poverty stricken. Why is it so? And the same question also, within the same chapter, Prabhupada is mentioning, how Yudhishthira Maharaj is also asking the same question to Lord Krishna himself. But why is it that the follower of Lord Vishnu is poverty stricken? And Prabhupada is mentioning that such questions is actually pleasing to Krishna. That question pleased Lord Krishna very much. Why? Because such questions are very much needed for the society of Krishna consciousness. People in Krishna consciousness need to know the answer to such questions. Because that's how we can sustain our spiritual life. So it is mentioned in that chapter that Lord Shiva, he is the husband of Durga, or the representatives of material energy. So Lord Shiva is actually controller of the three modes in that sense. So whoever is approaching him for such kind of benedictions, he gives them. But however, such benedictions are temporary. Now, in this material world, why people seek such kind of comfort? Because everybody is seeking for happiness. Either in this world or in the spiritual world, everywhere in the creation, everybody is seeking for happiness. Anandamaya Abhyashat. So, in this material world particularly, people are seeking happiness in matter. Why is it so? Because Lord Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, the living entities are fall into the category of energy called tatastha energy or marginal potency. And this marginal potency, tatastha means, like tata means that Yamuna tatpe, like the bank of the river. Tata means on the border, marginal, margin is also border, you know, marginal energy. Margin means also border. So it is in between. In between the external potency and internal potency of the Lord. So the Lord has three energies. One is internal, one is external, and in between is marginal potencies. So when the living entity is in this marginal potency, there is always tendency either to lord over material nature or take shelter in the lotus feet of Lord in the internal potency. So basically, because we are in this material world, naturally, people in this material world, the living entities, in whatever species he may be, he seeks happiness in the matter. And these energies of the Lord are very, very powerful. Just like Srinathji Prabhu was giving a class on Prerana Festival, and he was mentioning how these scientists are trying to understand this external potency of the Lord. This external potency of the Lord is very vast. And the scientists are able to understand from one aspect, and that too also not completely. We'll see. I'll just mention, because of my own conditioning, I'll mention something from this side, how the scientists are actually trying to understand, but ultimately they're not able to understand it completely. How is it so? So this nature or external energy of the Lord has many aspects, and the spirit is mingled with it, like living entities. Now in this matter or nature, if one studies, like scientists, they study the matter which is dead, jada vastu, and in that thing they see there are four kind of forces. These four kind of forces are, it's common, everybody knows about it. It's like one is magnetic force, the other is electrical force, which charges, they repel and attract. The gravitational force, which is different from these two types, and the fourth is nuclear force, which is also different. Now, they're trying to unify these forces and trying to find out, after all, they're all forces, so their nature should be same. Although they appear to be different, they should have one single aspect, or there should be one root cause behind these forces. And they're trying to unify these forces in many ways. And to some extent, they are successful in unifying this electrical and magnetic forces. That's called electromagnetic force in one term. But they have no clue whatsoever how to unify this magnetic force, gravitational force and nuclear forces. They are completely different nature. But still, because they are forces, it is obvious to believe and think that these forces have one origin. Now, the scientists, they believe these are all forces in nature. There is nothing more than that. But we can see, besides these four forces, there are two more forces in this material world. They are the forces of love and hatred. This is also a force. A man feels attraction for a woman, and a woman feels for attraction of man. There is no magnets, no electricity, no gravity. But the force is there. When a person is under attack of lustful desires, he is helpless. He is under that power. He cannot help himself. It completely grasps him. Of course, Bhagavad Gita teaches us in such circumstances, one should tolerate and one should take shelter. Just like when a storm comes, one cannot go and boldly face the storm. When a big, the wind flows at 120, 180 miles per hour, you cannot go and just stand in front of the wind. The wind will simply sweep away. Like a small straw, man can fly easily. Big cars, they fly. So in such circumstances, one should take shelter, like a tree. Trees are not capable of giving shelter. Similarly, when there are attack of these material energies, which is beyond normal physical forces we see, one must take shelter, and such shelter is available at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas and the Lord. Anyway, so these, we can see there are different type of forces which are operating within this external energy of the Lord, and although the spirit or the marginal energy living entity is superior to matter, it is superior to matter, but still it comes under the grips of external energy. So the question is, how it can be so? The matter or jada vastu is actually inferior compared to spirit. They are even inferior compared to the senses, not to speak of spirit. Still, they completely grasp the spiritual spark. Now, why is it so? Because Krishna explains in the Gita again, Daiviyasa gunamai mam maya duratvaya. Mam eva yapapadante maya meva tarantite. That is, this Devi or Durga Devi is a gunamai, means lot of ropes. These gunas, the three modes, are combined in various ways. There are many, many ropes. And because it is potency of the Lord, which is manifesting through this Durga Devi, because it is connected to Krishna, that's why it is more powerful than the living entity itself. So the living entity, although in one sense is superior to the matter, still because the matter is controlled by Krishna, living entity cannot do anything about it. One can, on his own effort, come out of this metal entanglement, unless the mercy of the Lord is there. Because ultimately, he is the controller. So although, we can see the scientists are trying to unify the forces, we can see in Bhagavad Gita, the unification is already there. That is Lord Krishna himself. He is the controller of all the energies, all the forces, and from him everything comes. So, but then, why these scriptures especially, they don't discuss in elaborately, they do of course in Bhagavatam it is mentioned how this metal world functions, But then there is no details of how these energy are there, and the main focus is in the internal aspect of the Lord. Because ultimately, because the purpose is to derive happiness, derive pleasure, then what is the point in going for the external energy in detail? Therefore, the scriptures always instructs and guides to surrender to Krishna, surrender to the will of the Krishna. That's why Krishna again and again tells in Bhagavad Gita, fight, rise and fight, fight on my behalf. Just like devotees say always, chant Hare Krishna. All the people may not like, no, Bhagavad Gita Krishna again and tackles Arjuna, fight, rise and fight, rise and fight. So the devotee says, are you chanting or are you not chanting? People may not like it. Arjuna didn't like, Krishna said, please rise and fight. Arjuna initially was not liking it. Why is he telling me fight and fight? He is giving so many reasons how not to fight. So the devotees always urge people to chant Hare Krishna, although they may not like it for some time, in so many ways. Anyway, so although the living entities in his own way is trying to seek happiness in this material world, the question is, does matter really give pleasure? That is the question. Does it really give the pleasure? Then again we can see, like Prabhupada writes, scientists, they are very busy in combining these three modes, trying to finding different ways to give a comfortable situation to the living entity so that he can be happy. Now what does it mean by comfortable situation? Comfortable situation means one is already in miserable situation and is trying to reduce its miseries by providing comfort. So comfort means reducing miseries, and that does not mean comfort is a positive happiness. It is different. It's not happiness, it's actually just reducing the miseries. Just like previously people used to travel on bullock cart, now they're traveling in a nice car, maybe AC car. But just think, I was thinking like this. Suppose you have the best car, air conditioned, and a very nice highway with no traffic. And there is nice music going on in the background and you are driving. Nice scenery, so many trees. Like recently devotees went to Himalayas, they are saying Himalayas is very attractive, but after some time you find it boring. Devotees are saying like that. So you travel like this, how long one can enjoy such a situation? Ultimately one going to get bored. Same AC, same car, same steering, same music. How long one can enjoy that? It's going to end. You'll find it boring. Anybody will find it boring. Because that is the nature of living entity. It's different. It's always seeking pleasure, and the pleasure provided to the matter is actually temporary. One cannot be happy. In this way you can see that these matter in itself, or the jada vasu like car, it cannot give happiness. It cannot satisfy a living entity. Then above this matter is actually senses. So some seek sensual pleasure, emotional pleasure or intellectual pleasure. But again, this is not ultimate, because we can see that there is also end to it. Just like we are discussing, there are forces like love and hatred. The same love can keep a family together, and same force can disintegrate family in no time. So the nature of this materialistic emotional relationship can act in both ways. It can help you stay together, it can make you break apart also. And both in itself are temporary. We have seen in this world that there are so many cases where people come together and again for some small petty reason sometimes they broke apart. It's very unfortunate, but it happens. But then, and such pleasure of senses are also temporary. Sometimes people argue that because senses don't satisfy completely, one can go on and on and on for it. Means somebody is eating, he can go on just, okay, not satisfied with this, not satisfied with that, go on doing it. But actually, we have seen, it ultimately ends up in lamentation. It's like we take one sense, our tongue. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in this prayer for prasadam, jadendriya, what is that? Karamadhya jivati. Among all the senses, and senses are themselves inert, but they are somehow provide pleasure to the spirit soul, And especially the tongue is the most powerful and voracious. And we can see, as soon as the child takes birth, the only sense that is active is his tongue. The child, whatever he grasps in his hand or his feet, puts in his mouth, trying to test it. What is it? Eatable or not eatable? That's all the business. And from the childhood, through the youth, old age, even in old age, before dying, the tongue is still powerful. People ask for some water. Is there some water? The tongue is still demanding. So the person is dying, still the senses are saying, I want more. And what it could lead to? It could lead to only frustration. And ultimately death. Now, therefore, Bhakti Thakur says, Jadendriya Tahe Kal. The indriyas, there are network of senses ultimately lead one to death. And what kind of pleasure is it if one is ultimately going towards death? It's like smoking or drinking. There may be some pleasure, but that pleasure is in ignorance and ultimately leads one to death. And what kind of pleasure is it? Why should one indulge? So it is said how a living entity suffers in this way. In 11th canto it is said, Bhayam ditiya vinivesyatah syad swad tvai, what is that? Swad apetasya viparyaya smriti tanmayayata buddha bhajetam bhakti ekasham gurudevatma. This is a very nice verse because it mentions how this spirit soul falls into this material world, and in this situation, how he suffers. Bhayam dutiya vinivetashah shah. Dutiya means the second option. One option is either you take shelter of lotus feet of the Lord, and the second option is take shelter of the matter. But as soon as the living entity takes shelter of matter, he forgets Krishna. That's how it is. And as soon as he forgets Krishna, then he is in complete illusion. He misidentifies himself as body instead of spirit soul. Because now he has misidentified himself, now he is trying to be happy, but that results in fear. What is material happiness? Material happiness is basically means sense gratifications, that means selfish attitude. In a selfish attitude, one always seeks, you know, always in fear, always in anxiety. Also, devotees are, the pure devotees, they are also in anxiety, but that anxiety gives them joy. But living entity, when it tries to gratify his own senses and falls into the trap of fear, anxiety, that anxiety results in fear, lot of fear. Then, in that fearful situation, he doesn't know who Krishna is, who is he, so he takes shelter of matter. And the matter completely baffles him, frustrates him, and in complete lamentation. And that lamentation ultimately leads in death. This is how a living entity who is turning his face away from Krishna suffers in this material world, ultimately faces death. That is the situation. Now then, we have seen how actually there is no pleasure in matter. Although it appears to be there is some pleasure, still it is very difficult to find any pleasure in this material world. Then the other option is turn to the internal potencies of the Lord or to the devotees and devotional service. Now what is this pleasure that pure devotee talk of? Because we are in this material world, we know one type of pleasure, that is sense pleasure. So when somebody comes and speaks to us, there is another pleasure, there is another nature other than this external energy. This nature, there is another nature, Krishna speaks. And there is unlimited pleasure, unlimited bliss. Then it is little bewildering, very difficult to accept for a conditioned soul. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes this song, Ekhana Bujhinu Prabhu Tomaru Charana Asaka Vaya Murta Purna Sarva Khana. He says, now I have understood the glory of the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has understood. For conditioned soul like me, very difficult to understand. But then, because he is merciful to the devotees, like Lord, they are merciful to us. They are saying, what this lotus feet means? Ashoka Abhaya Amruta. Ashoka means there is no lamentation, because you are lamenting always here, trying to enjoy this way and that way and ultimately lamenting. But here he says there is no lamentations. Ashoka Abhaya, and there is no fear. Now he said how living entities is trying to enjoy and ultimately in a fearful situation. But here he says there is no fear. And Amrita, Amrita is no death. Amrita means no Amrita or no ceasing. This pleasure is not going to cease. It is always there, eternally. Abhaya, Amrita and Ashoka. Purna Sarva Khana. This is not just in a small quantity, but there are minds of such bliss is available, where one can eternally relish. And in the same song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Vada Dukha Payachi Sutantra Jivane. In a life that is apart from Krishna, an independent life, away from Krishna, one continuously suffers in this world. When you turn away from Krishna and trying to enjoy, but there is actually no enjoyment. And by the time one, somebody understands this is such a fearful situation, one will die. So he says, any life, in my own, the people say, let's have freedom. Swatantra Jivan means having our own life in our own way, then there is, you are under the trap of mental energy and there is suffering. Vada Dukha Payachi. Lot of misery is waiting. But as soon as one understands, he says, Amitabha Nitya Das. Now I understand that I am your eternal servant. So as soon as one understands Krishna to be the real master and living entities is his real eternal servant, then there is unlimited pleasure. But still the question remains, how is it so that there is pleasure in becoming a servant, in becoming serving? It's not very difficult to understand in one sense, because we have seen in this world there may be a very rich family, lot of material comforts. But if in the family there is no loving relationship, then there is no happiness. Whereas in a family which is maybe a poor, relatively poor, or hand-to-mouth family, but if there is very nice cooperation, loving relationship, then that family is happy. So it's not that one needs to have lot of opulence to become happy. So when we turn to Krishna in an eternal relationship of love and affection, in serving, then that pleasure is there. Of course, it's very difficult to appreciate that in a conditioned state. But it is possible, because we have seen in some sample places, in this world it is possible. Also, in our own experiences we have seen how tasting prasadam, which is very different from any ordinary food, like yesterday we were discussing Nityan Prabhu and talking to me, how this food, which is cooked by a restaurant, he was telling me, is very gross, it just nourishes the body. But the food cooked by the mother, it nourishes the mind, because her affection and emotional, you know, inputs are there. And that actually nourishes the mind, apart from the body. But the spiritual food, not only nourishes body and mind, it also nourishes the spirit soul. It goes deep. It actually, that spiritual consciousness is there. So all these experiences we have within the conditioned stage, what to speak of liberated stage. So these experiences are there. I will tell one experience. When I was a child, so we used to do prayers in the evening. Mother would just made us sit, we chant. So we will be singing 2-3 prayers, and one of them was Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And because Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the shortest prayer, it is just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It ends there. So it's very, you know, for child, it's very easy. The smallest prayer, you just chant and finish it. Then go. Because we are always eager to finish it quickly. So, but as soon as you would chant this Mahamantra, somehow it is very difficult to stop it. Although there was no, you know, no love and no, you know, there was no love actually for chanting. But this Mahamantra is such a thing, it somehow traps you, tricks you. But then there was no taste. I mean, we're just doing it because somehow it was getting us, you know, dragging us on and on. But when we come in, when I come in contact with devotees, and the very elevated devotees, they chant Hare Krishna, that gives a different experience, which is apart from what keeps dragging us. So that experience is actually a treasure for a conditioned soul. One should always think and focus on such treasures, because ultimately this higher taste is going to take us back to Godhead. That's how. Or otherwise, for a materialistic conditioned person, it is not possible to appreciate. And just like I said, by coming in contact with devotees, one is able to appreciate it, otherwise it is not possible. The same way Prahlad Maharaj also says, how one can experience the nectar in the lotus feet of the Lord. He says, Naisham matistvad ur karmangharim sparsati anarthapya apagamo yadartaha mayasam pada rajovisekam niskinchananam nabhranite yavat. Now here the word niskinchananam is also used, because initially I was talking how the devotees of the Lord, and they are poverty stricken in one sense. They are poverty stricken because they have no, they don't derive any pleasure in the matter. Just like a hog may be relishing the stool, but a human being has no interest or inclination whatsoever for such kind of food. Right? Similarly, the pure devotees, because they are in a purified stage, the kind of pleasure that they release is different from the kind of pleasure one releases in an impure state. The hog, we can say, in an impure state, is releasing stool. Similarly, conditioned soul, because he is in an impure state, the pleasure he derives and he seeks is also, actually it's an illusion, actually it's frustration. It's an illusion. But the pleasure the pure devotees derive is completely different. So, therefore, because they have no interest in the materialistic world or the matter, therefore they appear to be property stricken. So Prabhupada used to say, devotees are not beggar. Because they may appear like that, but then they are not like that. So, then, how does one get the higher taste by associating with such people who are niskinchananam? Prahlad Maharaj recommends that one should take abhishek in the dust of such pure devotees. One should not just take the dust, but actually completely take bath in the dust of pure devotees. Then one can actually turn away his attention from matter to, or external energy to internal energy, or the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, it is not possible. So by the mercy of Prabhupada, you can see so many conditioned souls, they are coming to the shelter of the Krishna. It is possible. So then, the devotees, sometimes they may appear to be rich. Why is it so? Why devotee accepts money? It is said by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that Lord Chaitanya, he took sannyas. Why he took sannyas? Because, not because he wanted that upadhi or the, you know, the, what is that called? Upadhi, that's, you know, position. He says, Chaitanya in fact says, neither am I a brahmachari, nor a gruhastha, nor a vanarpastha, nor a sannyasi. I am the servant of the lotus feet of the Lord. So why he accepted sannyas position? Because he knew, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami says, even if a person glorify Lord Chaitanya as a sannyas, he will also be purified. What to speak of, if he glorifies him as God, that is further aspect. But just by glorifying him as a great sannyasi, he gets purified. So Lord Chaitanya accepted that position to deliver the fallen souls. Similarly, devotees, sometimes, like we see in IIT, some boys are encouraged to get good jobs and whatever. They can use that position to preach, because they are influential. And when people approach them as a great man, then they can inject Krishna consciousness into them. So in this way, although devotees have no interest in materialistic world and the materialistic wealth, still, sometimes they may appear to be involved in it, but actually they are away from it. They are not touched by it. Just like Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. So in this way, a devotee can happily situate himself in the shelter of the devotees, and release Krishna consciousness all his life and eternally. So I stop here. Thank you. Are there any comments? Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthasri Madhavagatam ki.